Welcome to episode 9 of Ryan's Reviews. On today's episode, I will be discussing The Lives of the Stoics by Ryan Holiday, as well as Screenplay, The Foundations of Screenwriting. In the movie segment of today's podcast, I will be talking about Citizen Kane, as well as three different movies from the 1930s that I think you guys should watch. So, starting off with the book selections of the week, I did discuss a little bit of the Foundations of Screenwriting on a previous podcast, and I did mention last week that I would be reading The Lives of the Stoics and reviewing it. I haven't quite had a chance to finish it yet. I'm about halfway through, but I can give my thoughts on it, and I think I can give a good enough summary right now for you to decide if this will be a book for you or not. So, this book is covering some of the philosophers that lived about 2,000 years ago and just covering kind of how they thought about life, how they thought about the things around them, and how they thought people should live. So it is an interesting look into a lot of philosophers that you probably never heard of. I know I've never heard of. It is hard to keep some of the names straight, especially as he keeps going, but he does do a good job of calling back to previous chapters and kind of comparing some of the philosophers to ones that were earlier on in the book. I think if you are interested in philosophy and you like reading about philosophers and what they were thinking a long, long time ago, I think you will enjoy this book. Otherwise, this would not be one for you. I have to say I'm pretty mixed on it so far, and not for any reason that really stands out to me apart from that, you know, it's just you're reading the same thing over and over again. Some of the philosophers, their viewpoints kind of overlap a little bit. So you're just reading about all these different philosophers one chapter at a time, and there's not much else to the book. But that being said, like I said, there are some interesting chapters here. Some of the ways that the philosophers were just thinking about everyday life 2,000 years ago in Rome were very, very interesting. Yeah, I'll let you decide if this is a book for you. I don't know. Maybe I'll feel a little different when I finish it. But for now, yeah, kind of so-so on that one. The other book that I made a small little dent in this week was the Screenplay, The Foundations of Screenwriting. I've talked about this one before. Again, I'm slowly working my way through it. Didn't make a whole lot of progress this week. I'm very, very focused right now in my own screenplay and focusing on the characters in it. Again, I'm trying to make characters that are likable throughout, somebody that you're rooting for, but also trying to have those characters experience some sort of change throughout the story. So I've been thinking a lot to the movies that I've watched and the books that I've read recently and thinking about, you know what, those movies that really stuck out to me, how those characters changed. And similarly, in the books that I've read, okay, which books have characters that really stick out to you, ones that you're rooting for? I talked last week. I was upset because I read Ready Player Two, and it was just a terrible, terrible book. And a large part of that was due to the character development in it. The characters feel very flat, and even the main character, Wade Watts, didn't experience very much growth. When I get into the movie segment, I'll actually talk a little bit about character. Because I'm going to be talking about Citizen Kane today, and there's definitely a lot going on with characters in that movie. I'm going to keep reading this book, probably just a few chapters at a time. I am going to finish it before the end of the year. Maybe at some point I'll give my full thoughts on it. I don't think there's going to be much change in terms of how it's written or anything like that. So I think if you are interested in writing a screenplay or just learning more about the process, I think it's a great book for that. I would recommend it at this point, even though I'm not that far in it. I did read most of it a few years back, but now I'm actually sitting down and saying, okay, finishing this book. It's incredible how much goes into screenwriting and just what a complicated process it is. When you're first starting, you're thinking, oh, this is not going to be so difficult. I have all these great ideas, but just all the parts that go into it and just, yeah, all the things that are necessary to make it a movie that people would actually want to watch and people would enjoy, it's difficult to do. So, and I'm finding that out very quickly. So Anyway, screenplay, the foundations of screenwriting. Check it out if you are interested in learning more about screenwriting. And on to movies. Here we go. So this week, I only watched two movies. One was Citizen Kane, and one was The Two Towers. And again, I talked about Fellowship of the Ring and the Lord of the Rings series kind of as a whole last week. So I don't know how much I'll talk about The Two Towers today, but I will talk about Citizen Kane, the story of Charles Foster Kane, the movie that a lot of people, at least a lot of film critics and a lot of people on their lists, have Citizen Kane somewhere near, if not number one, on their list for best movies ever made. And why is that? In my opinion, it's because it's such a groundbreaking film. It came out in 1941. Orson Welles, this is the first movie that he ever acted in, and he also wrote and directed it. It doesn't really belong in one genre. It starts off, you think it's going to be a horror movie. Then it turns into almost a biopic of a fictional character in Charles Foster Kane. But then over all of that, it's still a mystery story as well. So there's a lot of different components to it. And there's a reason that film students and people that are interested in film still study this one today and still enjoy it to this day. And it's some of the camera techniques and some of the interesting ways that this was filmed that were never used in movies before. Just the way Orson Welles uses close-up shots, overlapping dialogue, the way he is able to show time moving forward using different techniques is very, very interesting. One scene in particular between Charles Kane and his first wife in the movie is very, very memorable. It shows them sitting at a dinner table towards the beginning of their relationship. And then as it shifts from one scene to the next, they're still sitting at a dinner table. Their outfits are changing. He's showing them getting a little bit older. And just from a little bit of dialogue, you're able to see how their relationship is changing over time. Citizen Kane remains very influential to this day, not only with the filming techniques, but some of the storytelling elements as well. And I think also in character development, I was talking about in my screenwriting book how you have to have a character that has a story arc. They have to go through some sort of change. And usually you want to find yourself rooting for that protagonist. And in this case, Citizen Kane is very unique and set up the groundwork for lots of different movies and TV shows that have come out recently, in that you have a character that starts off, you might be rooting for them, but then as the movie progresses, you find yourself rooting for them less and less. And I'm thinking of modern day examples, and I have to think of TV shows like Breaking Bad or the movie There Will Be Blood. I am trying to think of main characters where you're actually not rooting for them at certain points. And it's very hard to pull off. It's very difficult to make a quality film in which you are not rooting for the protagonist. And yeah, Citizen Kane pulls it off. It's a remarkable achievement in filmmaking. It's made ever more incredible by the fact that Orson Welles is only 25 at the time, directing, writing, and acting in it. It's still a movie that should be watched to this day. If you haven't seen Citizen Kane, make sure to check it out. Is it the best movie ever made? I don't feel like I can say that. Is it one of the best movies ever made? Possibly. It is quite good. The reason that I actually ended up watching Citizen Kane or rewatching it this week was that I wanted to check out the new movie Mank, directed by David Fincher on Netflix. That is what I'm planning on reviewing next Saturday. Along with Return of the King, the conclusion of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So Orson Welles was credited as a screenwriter on a Citizen Kane, but there's more to the story than that. And I purposely didn't research a whole lot of that before recording this podcast because I'm hoping to learn some new things from that movie. We'll see how accurate it actually is. I will probably do some research after I'm finished watching it, but I hear it's quite good. So I will be checking that out and reviewing that next week. I briefly want to talk about The Two Towers today as well before we get into the 1930s. And The Two Towers is my least favorite of the three Lord of the Rings movies. And there's nothing particularly wrong with it. I think it is just, it kind of falls prey to being the middle part of the trilogy. There's great action, great storytelling. All the characters that you enjoyed so much in the first one are still there. And it's a great movie. The soundtrack, some of the new music that Howard Shore created for it is fantastic. The theme he has for Rohan is incredible. Helm's Deep, the Battle of Helm's Deep, is one of the best cinematic battle sequences of all time. But the Two Towers, it does suffer a little bit from trying to set up for the third one. And again, that's not to take anything away from the movie. I think all three of them are great. You should watch all three of them, like I said last week. But it is just, it happens to not be my favorite. I am going to be checking out Return of the King. I think I'm actually starting it today, planning on watching the extended version of that one. So 4 hours and 20 minutes of film coming up for me. But I am looking forward to rewatching that, and I will be reviewing that as well as Mank next week. And we talked about a movie from the 1940s. Now it's time to go back a little bit further and talk about the 1930s here. So the 1930s, a decade that I have not seen a lot of movies from. I was looking up lists, trying to pick which three movies that I wanted to talk about very briefly, and it was hard. I could have put movies like The Wizard of Oz on there. I didn't do that. I picked three that are very, very good, and maybe you haven't seen. And I don't have a ton to say about these movies because it's been a while since I've talked or since I've seen them. But I remember really liking them at the time. Again, a couple of these I saw maybe upwards of 10 years ago. So I'm going to just, again, briefly talk about these three. First one is Renoir's Rules of the Game, a very, very interesting comedic take on French society and culture. If you like Rules of the Game, definitely check out The Grand Illusion, another great film from Renoir. I don't remember too much of Rules of the Game, and that's why the 1930s, I maybe shouldn't have done this as a segment. I don't remember too much about it. It is near the top of a lot of movie lists from the 1930s. It was in one of the books that I read where Roger Ebert says, okay, here are 100 of the best movies ever made. And I remember very much enjoying this one. I remember it being quite funny. And quite ahead of its time in terms of comedy, similar to Harold Lloyd and a couple of the movies that I talked about last week. A darker movie than Rules of the Game that I would recommend checking out is M. It's Fritz Lang who did Metropolis, and it covers dark subject matter in the form of a murder that involves a child. It stars Peter Lorre. This movie is worth checking out mostly due to the cinematography and the storytelling. It is a way to take a very simple premise, albeit a dark one, but make it into an engaging story and one where, as awful as some of the things happening on the screen are, it's very hard to take your eyes away from it, and you really want to find out what happens. And the last movie that I want to talk about today is The 39 Steps, a early Hitchcock movie that I've not seen in a while, but it does stick out in my memory. I do remember it quite well. It's kind of funny. While I was looking up some information for the podcast, it actually came up that Orson Welles said that it is a masterpiece. And I'm apt to agree with that. I think 39 Steps is one of those Hitchcock movies that is underrated. Again, it came out in the 1930s. Hitchcock hit his stride in the States a few decades after that with famous movies like Rear Window, Psycho, Vertigo, The Birds. But some of his older stuff is quite good as well. And if you're going to watch one of his older movies, I would recommend The 39 Steps. I won't talk about it in the 1940 segment, but Rebecca is also a great movie, and I think it did win Best Picture, and it was the only Alfred Hitchcock movie to do that. So 39 Steps, and then if you like that, and if you like Hitchcock movies, Rebecca would also be a recommendation. And that will do it for today's episode of Ryan's Reviews. Next week, I will be back. I do not yet know which book I will be reading or reviewing, but I will be talking about Return of the King and Netflix's Mank, as well as talking about three movie recommendations from the 1940s. As always, guys, thank you for listening. Make sure to follow on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and thank you so much for your support. I will talk to you guys next Saturday.